Well, let's take up our Bibles, and Trevor is going to read to us some verses from Isaiah 55 and from Matthew 11. Thanks very much, Trevor.
So, Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to be skipping through the verses which are up on the screen. It's page 743. I agree with that up there. 743 in the church Bibles. And we're commencing at verse 1. It's headed Invitation to the Thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And moving on to verse 8, just over the page. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And verse 12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Now turning to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, and that's page 977. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning.
Father, thank you for your word, the Bible, which teaches, trains, rebukes. And as we open it now, we pray that you'd help us to understand and to respond. Amen. Well, we're still at the beginning of a new year. And if you made some resolutions and they're still going well done, you're probably doing better than most, statistically speaking. But we have resolved to do some intense work on our souls for these 4 weeks. I mean, we all want to better ourselves in some way, don't we? But it's so easy just to get working on the parts of us that, while they're important, aren't the main thing. So yes, have a swear box in your house if you need it. Refuse the extra hours at work so you can bless your family with your presence more than you are. Of course, take up jogging. Cut the calories, count the pennies, quit smoking, learn how to use the internet, whatever it is, all okay. But all we do is nothing of eternal worth unless we let the Lord do something in here, in us. So for 4 weeks, we are resolved to be allowing the Lord to get us uncomfortably honest with our souls. So we began with, be still, my hurried soul. My restless soul. Do we want to take time to wait on God? Do we want to allow him to search us out? Do we really want that? Do we need that? Why do we find it so hard to be still with God? Why do we find it so easy just to whack on a screen rather than open his word? We need to slow down, don't we? We need to know him. We need to receive the stillness, the peace, the order, and the hope that he is and he brings. But being still exposes the inner war in us, doesn't it? The truth that even though we might want to change, we're powerless, really, and therefore often frustrated because our souls get hooked on these bad habits and we get trapped in different ways, in different sins. We know there's freedom in belonging to Jesus, but we don't feel it. And often Christians don't live in the freedom that we actually have. We have attitudes, we have addictions, we have sins that need confessing to God for forgiveness, which usually need the help of others as well to talk to pray with. So how are we doing with confession? Did we take the difficult but much needed step after last Sunday of confessing with someone else? Confessing some aspect of our lives. Are we making strides? I mean, seriously, wanting to be free from certain sins, the sin that so easily entangles us. Well, be still, be free. And today is a weight loss week. It's be healed. Be healed, my heavy soul. See, we all carry weight around with us, not just Stephen in the talk. We carry around things that weigh down on our souls, that burden us, don't we? All of us this past week in different amounts and at different times have felt a heaviness of heart. Maybe we feel that right now, this morning. We know, we're honest, there's things really weighing on our hearts. Maybe you took time to be still this week and you found that actually instead of a kind of joyful focus and feeding on God, actually in the stillness, what happened was actually your cares and your anxieties just came rushing upon you. Actually, that happens quite a lot, maybe, to the extent that you really struggle to read your Bible and pray. Well, that happens because we carry around baggage with us. Baggage from life, which weighs us down. Now, when we go for family walks, which you do occasionally, at certain times of the year, they sort of turn into family feuds in the form of this stuff, sticky weed. Now, I don't know its Latin name, sorry. But sometimes the aim of the walk ends up being to put as much of this stuff on the parents as possible. Now, particularly, you know the game, don't you? In the back or in the middle of the back so they don't notice it and can't reach it. It's quite good fun until the second mile when certain people are still chucking it around like it's just begun. But as we walk through life, as it were, what are the things that get stuck to us? They just stick and they stay stuck. What is the sticky weed, but of course a lot heavier, that gets attached, which accumulates and weighs us down, causing us to have burdened souls? What is it that we are carrying around with us? So we've got a little bag here, which I'm going to put here, and maybe, you'll see it in a minute, maybe it's guilt and regret. Maybe that's something that we are carrying around with us all the time. Past things that we have said and done that were foolish, wrong decisions we made, and we just think, if only we could just turn back the time. Or words which we've said, we just could wish we could reel them back in. Parenting errors, time wasted, friends lost. David, Psalm 38, verse 4 says, "My guilt overwhelms me. It's like a burden too heavy to bear." Or perhaps it's not something that we have done that is troubling us mainly, but it's something that's been done to us. And we're burdened with bitterness and resentment. Maybe we've been abused in a particularly difficult way, horrible way. Maybe we've been lied about, perhaps recently, left out. We've all been hurt, haven't we? And we can all carry unforgiveness around with us and bitterness. Or worse, maybe revenge. Because we'd rather like to get that person back or see them suffer in some kind of way. Does that weigh you down? It can be ironic, can't it, that even though kind of we were the initial victim of the hurt, actually it's us now that have this double suffering. The hurt of what they did to us, but of course that inner poison of bitterness which we just cannot seem to let go of. Are you carrying around regret? Are you carrying around resentment? Or are we carrying around a deep sense of loss? Perhaps we thought that by now we would have moved on a bit with the loss that we've suffered. Maybe some time has passed and we thought, well, you know, by now we've way much further down the line in our grieving. But in our hearts, the loss is still just so heavy. We just wish that person back. We can't find the new normal. We have never been able to. Perhaps we feel life is unfair. And we're frustrated with what we have, what we don't have. And that weighs down on our soul. Well, many of us are weighed down by hurts. Hurts that weigh us down. Maybe we do believe still, the nicknames which we were given so long ago. You know, they've stuck to us. Have we been left believing that we are defined by what certain other people think of us and say about us? Do things that have been said to us in the past echo in our heads today? Maybe it happened this week. Have the labels that people have put on us, have they never ever been peeled off? Is this a heavy load for you? What is it that burdens you? Is it the big one? Worry and anxiety? Is that something you carry around? Do we live in a state of almost constant worry and apprehension? Kind of always turning over what might happen. Though it hasn't happened. Are we tense so much of the time? Maybe irritable, maybe we lack peace. Because we're thinking of all the things we face now and that we don't think we'll cope with. Or we're thinking maybe about that loved one and we're constantly worried about them. Do we carry around with us the burden of worry and anxiety? And have we perhaps resigned ourselves to it for life? And we think that's it. That's what it's going to be like. Or perhaps for some of us it's depression of some sort. And this has been described by some as like walking around with a big, wet, woolen coat on. Kind of heavy and damp. Only you just can't take it off. And then there's the pressure to be happy. And that adds weight. But try as we might, the coat is on most days. We just can't take it off. And we're constantly weighed down, often overwhelmed with feelings of worthlessness and hopelessness. Psalm 42, verse 5, the psalmist asks his own soul. He says, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" So what burdens are you carrying around in life? What are you carrying around that means you're stooped? No, well, I've got a really strong neck, honestly. That means you lack energy, and maybe you lack sleep, and you certainly lack peace. Instead, you've got aches and pains, especially in the neck. And we can break under the weight of our burdens, can't we? They do break us at times, and we see it in others. Maybe this bag will break in a moment, we'll see. But what things have we accumulated through life's walk that we have now built up, and it's such a burden to us, and which, in our desperation, perhaps we just try and remove ourselves? Because we try different ways to escape, don't we? We try different things. We often try to deal with the effects of the issue rather than the source. We do a DIY kind of cover-up job in an attempt to lighten our heavy souls, don't we? We turn to drink to numb feelings. We turn perhaps to drugs, sleeping pills to escape, or romance. What pleasures do we run to? Kind of what kind of short bursts of happiness are we after to make us feel good again? Good for a moment, just to cover the pain. Maybe it's health and fitness, because we think that if our body is doing well, if we look good, well, we'll feel good. And we say, don't we, time's a healer. And there's some truth in that, of course, but some of us have been carrying the same burdens around for years, and time doesn't seem to have done its work on those burdens as we thought it might. What can we do about our heavy souls? Well, the answer, of course, is to let go, isn't it? The answer is to put them down. And to a people carrying heavy loads, what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11? Jesus said, come to me. And his invitation, with all of our baggage, with all of our sorrows, with all of our weight, is come. He doesn't say four steps to this, or first, you know, achieve this, or complete that pilgrimage. It's not put on a smile. It's not dress up in any way. It's come. Admit you can't and come to me. I'll read those words to us again. Picture Jesus just calling this out to the people. Two wonderful words, aren't they? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, when we get ourselves in a fix, which we do at times, don't we? We want to get ourselves out. We kind of feel that we should. We did it, so we should clear up the mess. But it's Jesus, isn't it? Who alone gets to the source of our burdens. A yoke is a piece of wood, which would have been put over two cattle as they ploughed a field. So it would join them together, and the farmer would often yoke an inexperienced cow to an experienced one. And when Jesus said these words, he was in the first instance talking to people yoked to the religious leaders of the day with their many rules. And to live under their teaching, that is to be yoked to them. That's what he was talking about. And the Pharisees were oppressive. Their rules were a heavy burden. And of course, the people were also under the heavy hand of the Romans. And they were weary. And Jesus says, come to me. Don't be yoked to them. And to us today, joined to so many things, empty promises, loves, longings of this world, Jesus said the same. He said, don't be yoked to false hopes, empty passing pleasures, but come and take my yoke upon you. Learn a new way. Let me teach you. I watched this film, The Dead Poets Society, when it came out in the cinema in 1989. I was 13. I didn't really get it. But there's that really key scene when Robin Williams, the inspiring teacher, tells the boys to open their big poetry books to the introduction section, and then just to rip out those few pages on structure and poetry rules. And he proceeds to bring poetry to life for them, making it kind of no longer technical, but now living, as he breathes life into poetry and he breathes life into the boys as well. And Jesus comes and Jesus breathes life into the law. It's not about religious rules. It's about relationship. He's come to free, to unburden, to show the heart of the law, which is to live God's way. It's the heart of the Ten Commandments, God's good way. And it begins with admitting that we can't. It begins with us putting down our burdens and then turning to his new and living way. So he says, let me teach you. First, lay your burdens down. Trust me with the things that make you weary. Trust me with the things that weigh you down. Take that yoke off and put my yoke on. And we might think, well, hang on a minute. I thought he was talking about taking off burdens. It sounds like it could be adding here, if I keep my old ones and take Jesus on as well. Well, yes, Jesus is asking us to pick up other things. But those things are not burdensome, because his way is very different, isn't it? It not only addresses the things that truly burden us, but his way is light. His way leads to rest, true rest. So Jesus says, let me teach you, put this down, let me teach you how to be free, free from guilt. So take up, sorry, I can't read it, forgiveness. Take up forgiveness. You don't need to carry round with you guilt and shame, because I died for your sin. I died for that, that thing you're thinking about, and the other, and all of your sin. I took your shame on the cross. You don't need to live in regret. For I will make all things new. I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. So live on my forgiveness. And so be free from guilt yourself, and free to forgive others. Put down your bitterness and take up love. Take up love. Yes, they hurt you, and they may have hurt you badly. But the Spirit's power, which enabled me, Jesus says, to love my enemies, to forgive those who killed me, can be yours as well. So love and forgive those who hurt you. This is the better way. Of course, we think, some of us here are thinking of really difficult things to forgive people for, and initially they will be heavy to pick up. It's hard to take that first step, isn't it, to forgive and to truly love our enemies. But it's the light way to live once we've got over that first step of forgiving. Learn from me gentleness, Jesus says. Learn humility from me. Having been forgiven much, forgive and keep on forgiving. That's the good way. That's the light way. Just keep going. 70 times 7. And for your grieving, well, take up comfort. I bring comfort in the midst of your loss, for I know your tears. My Father keeps each one in his bottle. He records every tear that falls from our faces in his book. It's a wonderful truth, isn't it? For your hurts, but be joined to me in such a way by faith that you receive a whole new identity. Take up that identity every day. You are not what the world might call you, nor are you defined by what you call yourself sometimes. But in me you are loved and you are valued. You know that you are a child of God. You are sealed with the Spirit, and a glorious inheritance awaits God's people. So no more live burdened by this constant search for approval. Don't worry about what others think of you. But for true worth, for true identity that lasts, come to me, Jesus says, and live light. Put down worry, put down anxiety. Give up believing in chance and fate. See that the Father has put all things under my feet, Ephesians, and take up trust. Take up trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. Don't lean on that. And so God would say to us, well, I know tomorrow. You don't. And will give you the grace you need for that day when it comes. You'll have grace for that day. So all the things that bother us, all the anxieties that rush upon us, Jesus says, cast on me. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. See, we don't just let go of our heavy burdens. It's not just simply us putting them down, but we pick up. We pick up, don't we, things of immeasurable value. We pick up things. We first, of course, admit we can't do it. We bring them to him. But we hear Jesus say that I have done it. And I will come. And because I've done it, I will come and live in you by the Spirit. And I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And Paul, remember Paul yoked to Jesus? He says, and we can say it with Paul as well, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So we bring our depression to him, our low moods, and we hold in those moments onto his promises. We hold onto his promises, promises of presence, his promises to hold us fast. When we fear, as we just sung, when we fear that our faith is failing on life's path, and it does, doesn't it, at times? By our fingernails, perhaps, we hold on to the truth that those he saves are his delight. He will not let us be lost, but he will hold us fast. And his yoke is light. I wouldn't really know that this is on me. I could walk all day with it. Because it's light. It fits, doesn't it? It's freeing. Just a quick caveat to say that we're not necessarily talking here about an overnight fix. Learning from Jesus is a process, isn't it? It takes time to internalize these things he's telling us. It takes time to be still. It takes confession. It takes the help of one another as well. It takes discipline. It takes obedience to his word. So when we go to pick up guilt or worry, or when we go to get hold of that escape, well, if we're walking in step with the Spirit, we hear him say, stop. You don't have to pick that up. Instead today, pick up forgiveness. Pick up trust. Live by faith. Pick up the better way. Put down bitterness. Leave it and live on my love. And find rest for your souls. Live in a place of rest. And that is living as we're designed, isn't it? That's the goal of creation, rest. And it's true peace. Jesus, the light way, of course, is the right way. Some may be thinking, well, hang on a minute. Can't I find all this kind of way to live through yoga, meditation, crystals? Sure, I can get forgiveness and all that from those things, can't I? Well, no, we can't. This is a rest. This is a peace the world cannot give. It doesn't have it. It can't have it because these are things that the Spirit gives. These are Spirit-given, aren't they? Many products and people today say, come, come feed on me, come spend your money on me, buy this, buy that, be like me, and really live like no true satisfaction. That's what the world's throwing at us all the time, isn't it? But it's all momentary. Ultimately, it's all a false hope, isn't it? It just masks the effect of our burdened souls. But Jesus says, come to me without money, without cost. Find true rest. Find real transformation and lasting hope. So what is weighing down on your soul? What do you need to bring to Jesus? What do you need to leave with him? And what do you need to pick up? Will we come before him? Not just in a moment when we pray. We're going to do that in a moment, have some time of quiet. But will we live under his yoke this week, as we go into this week? Will we swap our worldly burdens, our worldly ways, for his light burden, which brings rest?